Good morning, Cornerstone. Welcome. Welcome to, we got a special service today, so I hope you are excited about it. It's a little bit chilly, and being outside and being safe and hand sanitizer, I might drop my pick, so my fingers are slippery this morning, and you guys need earbuds and headphones, and I don't know, it's a little chilly. But good news is, this is the coldest day in the next several weeks, according to the future outlook. So, and also, as we're thinking, as I see shivering happening, those of you who are live stream, okay, just enjoy being in your living room and wrapped in your blankets and whatever. But we're here together, and we're a little chilly, but it's okay. It's okay, because we love to be together, and we look forward to when you guys can be back with us again. But just before we jump in, just want to remind everybody, we try to keep our masks on for the music, so the singing, we can be... we can sing as loud as we want, not worry about sharing anything. And when the message starts, then we relax the masks and you can take those off. But also, for those of you on live stream, want to let you know, for the first time on our website, we have all the song lyrics. So if you want to be able to sing along, if you want to read what the lyrics are, it's on our website, kutztownchurch.com, or it's on the Bible app. So if you have the Bible app, it's the most popular app on the website. Just type in Bible, download the app, and our lyrics are there too. You just search for our event. So we're going to sing God is on the Move. So you might need to move. So get up out of your seat and move around. Keep yourself warm. And let's remind ourselves of how active God is right now.
Anytime my heart turns from darkness to light, anytime temptation comes and someone stands to fight, anytime somebody lives to serve and not be served, I know, God is on the move, on the move, hallelujah, God is on the move in many mighty ways, God is on the move.
Stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know
God is on the move.
God on the move. God is working. He's working in some pretty amazing, pretty crazy ways right now. So welcome. Welcome to Cornerstone. Welcome, live stream audience, everybody who's here. Just logistics. If you need a restroom, I know some of you are here for the first time. Restrooms are that way. Just look for the blue and black signs. They take you that way to the right. It's only one restroom. It says ladies. So if you're a gentleman, ignore the word ladies, but knock first. first, one at a time. That's how we're doing it. One restroom to share. So keep that in mind. And we got some supplies over here if you need it for kids that might be getting restless, crayons and coloring books and stuff. And the giving table's over here and some information that you'll need to know about later. But this morning we got a friend, and I'll introduce him in a little bit. But someone from very, 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 very far away is going to share with us from God's Word. And but before he does, we get to sing. We get to sing to God. And I want you to think about, before we sing this next song, how do you approach God? How do you approach the throne of the King of the universe? This song says, I approach him with nothing, just the promise of his acceptance. We serve a pretty awesome God. So just consider that as we begin this next song.
Approach the throne of glory. Nothing in my hands I breathe, but the promise of acceptance from a good and gracious King. Oh. I will give to you my burden. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, what grace that you would see me as your child and as your friend, safe, secure in you forever. I pour out my praise again. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome, I lift my voice to the King in need of nothing. Empty-handed, I rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. Overcome with joy, I sing. Wow. Cause you're a good and gracious King. rejoice. You deserve the greater glory. You're a good and gracious King. You're a good and gracious King. Oh, you're a good and gracious King.
Let's talk to him for a minute. Lord God, we come before you into your holy presence. And you're a holy, mighty God, but you're not just lightning bolts and thunder. You're a good and gracious King. You're compassionate and merciful. And you wrap us in and draw us near. So Lord, do that today. Draw us near to you. Show us more of who you are. And use my friend as he shares your word that it would give us deeper understanding of who you are, who we are, and how we connect with you, God, and how you've wired us to function. God, bless your church, strengthen your church. Those watching live stream, those here this morning, Lord, give us strength and warmth in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, you may have a seat. And my friend, this is my friend Amigo. We call him Amigo around here. This is the name I'm going to call him today. So that's not his actual name, but Amigo is going to share with us from scripture. And, come on up, Amigo.
Power is on. We're good to go. Excellent. Well, good morning. Good to see everyone on this beautiful day. It is wonderful to be outside, and it is wonderful to be here with all of you. And thank you for this opportunity to speak, and welcome to all of those that are watching online streaming. It is wonderful to be here and to be with you. I want to tell a story that takes place from when I was in eighth grade. In eighth grade, our church youth group went to this place out here in Michigan. It is called the Baptist Children's Home. And we went there to put a brand new roof on their home there. And on Sunday, we went to a church which we were going to minister in. My role of ministry was I am a flute player, and I was going to be playing the flute for their service there. And so we had planned to go there early so that I could get there and practice with the piano player and get ready for the service. So we were given some very specific directions about how to get to the church. We were told that you come out of the church. By the way, this is going to be important. This is before the days of GPS. This is also before the days of cell phones. It's going to be important for where this story is headed. So we were told you come out of the children's home, you make a left, and then you look for this store right here, Bob's Big Boy. So we're told to look for Bob's Big Boy, and then once you get to Bob's Big Boy, you take a right, and then the church is there. So we began driving, and we're looking for Bob's Big Boy. And we were driving about 15 minutes, no Bob's Big Boy. We drove about 30 minutes, still no Bob's Big Boy. My pastor, youth pastor, was driving the vehicle, and there was a bunch of middle school boys that were in the van. He's like, I think we made a wrong direction. And we're all in the van cheering, I'm, no, keep going. We haven't found Bob's Big Boy yet. Keep going. And so we kept going. Finally, we saw signs that were saying, welcome to Canada. And my pastor's like, we definitely made a wrong turn. We need to turn around and we need to go back. So we turned around and we found out later once we got to the church, by the time we got to the service that we were planning to be there early for, the service was already over and everyone was dismissed. And they were like, where were you? And we're like, well, we came out and we took the left and we were looking for Bob's Big Boy. And they're like, you took a left? You're supposed to take a right when you came out of the children's home. And so we went the wrong direction and had a fun time there almost getting to Canada. And so we needed to turn around in order to be to the right place. There are going to be times in our life in which we are going to need to turn around to get on the right track. There's going to be times in our marriage where maybe we're going the wrong direction. We're going to need to turn around to go on the right track. There's going to be times maybe even in your education, you're going one direction, but you need to turn around to go in a better direction. And there's going to be times in a nation in which you're going to need to turn around to go in a way that God is wanting you to go. This is going to be true for the nation of the Northern Kingdom of Israel, which you can see here on the map is highlighted here in the blue. And there was a book that was written 2,750 years ago to this nation, begging them to turn around. This nation at this point in time is not following God. They are not following after the one who truly loves them, and they're headed in the wrong direction, and God wants them to turn around. The name of this book is the book of Hosea. I'd invite you to turn with me there at this time. We're going to be looking at three verses in the last chapter there. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Hosea chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Like I said, this book was written 750 years before Christ was born, so about 2,750 years ago. It is primarily written to the Northern Kingdom of Israel. However, the Southern Kingdom of Judah, they kind of get to listen in and get some information as well. And they also get some warnings that are given there for them. But primarily, this book is written to the Northern Kingdom of Israel. Last time I was at your church, I preached from the book of Amos, and Amos and Hosea are written right about the same point in time in history, but they're very different books. The book of Amos is mostly concerned with horizontal relationships. If you remember, he was really upset with how they were treating one another. The book of Hosea is going to be much more vertically, and the prophet's going to be very upset about how their relationship with God is all messed up. So this is the book that we're going to be looking at today, and let's go ahead and read this passage together. It says, "Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take with you words and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity except what is good, and we will pay with bulls the vows of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We shall not ride on horses. And we will say no more our God to the works of our hands. In you, the orphan finds mercy." Before we begin studying this passage this morning, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Almighty God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for how we look at this passage that was written 2,750 years ago, and yet it's so long ago, but yet so relevant to our lives today. And Father, I pray that as a result of spending time studying your word this morning, we will come away closer to you, and I ask all of this in Jesus' name, amen. As we study this passage this morning, we're going to be asking three questions. The first question that we're going to ask is what? All the questions are what questions. The first question is, what is the illustration for Israel? God had a particular illustration that went along with the sermon that he had for Israel. Now, what often happens in preaching is people remember the illustration and sometimes they forget the sermon. And I've had people, someone was telling me, "Oh, Nathan, I really liked this illustration that you used of when you gave somebody in the church $20, and I'm like, "Do you remember what that illustration was for?" And they're like, "No, but it was a really good illustration." You have to remember what the illustration is for. So we're going to look at what the illustration was and then kind of look at what the illustration was for. So we're going to say, what was the illustration God had for the sermon he had for the nation of Israel? And then our second question is, what did God want for Israel? As you look at why this book Hosea was written, what was it that God really wanted for the nation of Israel? And so we're going to look at back then and there, but then our last question is going to bring us up to today. What does God want for you and me today and make it relevant to our lives today? So we're going to start with our first question, which is, what is the illustration for Israel? And God used the life of the prophet Hosea to illustrate his love, his amazing love, his incredible love for Israel, even when Israel did not love him. So we have this guy here. His name is Hosea. He is a prophet. And God comes to him and says, "Hosea, I want you to marry a prostitute." What? Think about what's going through Hosea's mind at this point in time. So he's coming to him and he's saying, the way that Israel is acting, they are acting unfaithful to me, and I'm going to ask you to marry someone who's not going to be faithful to you, because this is going to illustrate what is going on in the nation of Israel at this time. So he goes off and he marries this woman by the name of Gomer. And they enter into a marriage. The marriage is symbolic of the relationship that God had with the nation of Israel. You might remember Moses, and on Mount Sinai, he gave him the Ten Commandments and other rules and regulations that they were to live in as his people. And so the nation of Israel entered into what's known as the Mosaic Covenant with God. And so this covenant was represented by the marriage in this illustration. So in the same way that God and the nation of Israel had this special relationship, Hosea with Gomer are entering into a special relationship. They end up having three children. The three children's names are kind of funny, and they're going to be representing the experiences of the nation of Israel. The first son, his name is Jezreel. Jezreel means God, means he scatters. And God named him this, God asked Hosea to name his child this, because God was going to scatter the nation of Israel. He was going to use the nation of Assyria to come in and then to bring judgment upon them and to scatter them all throughout the ancient Near East. By the way, as you study the scripture, it's not really clear if these children are actually Hosea's or not. I always thought that they definitely were, but as you read through the scripture, it's not entirely clear if these are Hosea's children or the result of her being with another man. So we have Jezreel, who's the first one God scatters. The second child, her name is Lo-Ruhamah. Lo is the Hebrew word meaning not, and her name means no mercy or no love. And what God was indicating through this child's name is that for a period of time, he was not going to show mercy to Israel. When judgment was coming upon them, he was not going to have mercy upon them, and he was going to allow for the judgment to take place. Then the third child, his name was Lo-Ami. Once again, you see that prefix Lo meaning not once there again. And his this means not my people. And this was because for a period of time, God was going to treat the northern kingdom of Israel as though they were not his people. He was going to remove his hand of blessing from them and treat them as though they were not his people for a period of time. Well, exactly what God told Hosea would happen did happen. And sadly, this wife that he loved, this wife that he cared for, this wife that he was protecting, went off and began to go be with other men and began to be with people who didn't actually love her. And this was indicative of what was going on in the nation of Israel at this time. Israel was leaving this God who truly loved the nation of Israel to go after foreign gods. One of the main other gods or idols that they were worshiping was this idol by the name of Baal. Baal was the god of fertility from the nation of Assyria. And what he was a voyeuristic god that they had to try to get excited that would then bring rains down on their crops. So they would do things with very inappropriate dances. They would do things with prostitutes. They would even sacrifice children to this god to try to get him excited so that he would bring about rains for their crops. So Israel, instead of following after the true and living God, was following after idols. Just like the way Gomer was not following after this man who truly loved her, but instead was following after all of these other men that didn't truly love her. Eventually, Gomer's life went from bad to worse. She sold herself into slavery and was really in a very pitiful position. However, Hosea never gave up on Gomer in the same way that God never gives up on the nation of Israel. And he came and he bought her back at a very expensive price. It's something that was a great sacrifice to him. He went to buy back Gomer and to redeem her back unto himself. And we see the end of the story that they end up happily ever after together with Hosea and and Gomer beckon once again in each other's arms. And this is indicative of what God was going to do in Israel. God was going to use the nation of Assyria to come in and to bring about judgment. Remember that kid's name was Jezreel. God scatters. He's going to bring about judgment upon the nation, but then eventually he was going to bring them back to himself. And the children's names, they're all changed. Jezreel, his name meant God scattered. His name also means God plants. And we see that God's going to plant the nation of Israel there firmly in the promised land. And then Lo-Ruhamah, her name is changed back to Ruhamah, mercy. God's going to once again pour out his mercy and his love upon the nation of Israel. And the last child, his name's changed from Lo-Ami, not my people, back to Ami, my people. And God is going to bring about and once again call the nation his people and bring them back unto himself. Because the nation is one day, I don't believe this has happened yet, but one day the nation is going to come back to God, follow after him, and enter into that loving relationship. So what was the illustration for the nation of Israel? The illustration was God used the life of the prophet Hosea to illustrate his love for Israel, even when Israel didn't love God. So if you think of the book of Hosea, it's kind of like a giant sermon, and this is the illustration for the sermon. You can think of the first three chapters of the book are the story, and then the last 10 chapters of the book are the sermon. So what is the point of the sermon? What did God want for the nation of Israel? Why did he give them this illustration? God wanted Israel to repent from idolatry and to follow after him. I want to talk a little bit about this word repentance because as I talk to people in churches, I often find that it's misunderstood. The word repentance doesn't just mean saying, God, I'm sorry for my sin. That is part of repentance, but that is not all of repentance. Repentance is saying, I was going in one direction. I was doing things that were wrong. I was doing things that were self-destructive. I was doing things that weren't pleasing to God. And then I stopped and I came to God and I came to him and I said, God, please forgive me for my sins. And that still isn't repentance yet. Repentance is then saying, I am now going in a new direction. I'm going back towards God. I'm going back to the way he wants me to live. I'm going back to the way that is going to be living in a way that is pleasing to him. The entire process of turning around is what repentance is. Just like with my pastor, we needed to turn around so that we could get to the right church. Some of us in our lives, we need to turn around from some certain things to live in a life that is going to be pleasing to God. So this is what God wanted for Israel. He wanted them to repent of their ways and follow after him. So we look here at our verse. The very first word that's mentioned there is this word return. This word appears 25 times in the book of Hosea. So this is a theme throughout the book. Israel, return back to me. Quit worshiping after this Baal God. Worship me, the one who truly loves you. Quit doing these horrible things to try to get Baal excited so that he will bring about crops for you. Come after me and I will provide for you and I will take care of you. God is begging and pleading with the nation of Israel to please come back, return to me and to follow after me. And then he tells them what they need to say. If you want to follow after me, here's what you need to say. And there's going to be three parts to what he wants them to say. First of all, he wants them to make an appeal to God for removing their sins. He says here, take away all iniquity. Remember, saying, God, I'm sorry for my sins. God, please forgive me for my sins. That is part of repentance. But that's not all of repentance, but that is part of repentance, is appealing to God and saying, God, please remove this iniquity from me. So part of what he wants for the nation to do is to make this appeal to God. And then, secondly, they're going to acknowledge what they did that was wrong. There are times when I was younger and I would get in a fight with my brother or my sister, and my mom would say to me, you need to apologize. And so I would go to my brother and my sister, I'm sorry. And my mom would say, for? And I would be like, I don't know. I don't know why I'm sorry for. And she'd be like, you're sorry because you did. And then I would have to acknowledge what it is that I did that was wrong. And that's kind of what God is wanting the nation of Israel to do. He's wanting to say, remove my iniquity and then say what you did that was wrong. And in the statement, we see here two things that they did that was wrong. First of all, they were relying on the nation of Assyria to save them instead of relying on God to save them. So at this point in time, Egypt is becoming a big, powerful nation, and Israel is getting nervous by this. And it isn't necessarily a bad thing that they were getting nervous by this. What was a bad thing is that they were relying on Assyria to save them instead of relying on God to save them. So it says here, Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses. What we did was wrong in relying on the nation of Assyria to protect us instead of relying on God to protect us. And what's interesting here is that this nation that they were relying on, Assyria, ultimately ended up becoming the nation that brought about judgment upon them. So that's the first thing they needed to acknowledge to God and say, God, we were wrong for relying on Assyria instead of relying on you. And the second thing that they needed to acknowledge that they did what was wrong was that they were making idols. It says here, and we will say no more, our God, to the work of our hands. I had a friend who grew up in another religion, and she came to our church services, and she's like, where are all your gods? Where are all your images of God? And for a while there, I always thought, well, we just don't have images of God. And then I realized that my theology was all wrong about that. We have images of God right here in our church today, and it is you and I. We are created in the image of God. We cannot make something with our hands to be the image of God. Why? Because we serve the living God. That is why he gave us a living being to be in his image. We cannot portray the living God with a dead inanimate object, which is what the nation of Israel was doing at this point in time. They were carving up things and then bowing down and worshiping them, sacrificing children to these idols instead of worshiping the true and living God. So they needed to acknowledge that what they did that was wrong. So in other words, we had Israel, they were going in one direction, they were worshiping Baal, they were relying on Assyria instead of going to God, and then they needed to appeal to God and say, God, please remove this iniquity from us, what we did was wrong. And then they're saying what they did, what was wrong, but then they still had that one more part where they're going back and where they're going in a new direction. And here we see this in the last part. They are asserting that they are following after the true and living God. So here they say, in you, the orphan finds mercy. We are coming back to you, God. We are going towards you. We are going towards the things of God. So here we see this entire process of being turned around from going in one direction that was all wrong to going in a new direction. So let's review where we've been so far this morning. What was the illustration for Israel? It was God used the life of the prophet Hosea to illustrate his love for the nation of Israel, even when Israel didn't love God. And so Hosea could have said when Gomer went away, oh, well, I'm just going to go find me another woman. But it isn't what Hosea did. Hosea said, you know what? I want to come back after this woman. And he made a great sacrifice to buy her back into himself. In the same way, God with Israel didn't just say, all right, Israel, you're out. I'm done with you. He did things to try to win back Israel and to bring the nation back unto himself. And then we say, what did God want for Israel? God wanted Israel to return back to him. He wanted Israel to repent from her idolatry and instead to follow back after him. So let's talk about back. That was then and there. Let's talk about here and now. What does God want for you and me today? God wants us to repent of our sin and to follow him. Remember that word repentance there is saying, I was going in one direction, I was doing things that was destructive, I was doing things that was wrong, I was doing things that wasn't pleasing to God. I am acknowledging to God that what I did was wrong, and I am now going in a new direction, going back towards the things of God. Remember, repentance is more than just saying, God, I'm sorry for my sin, please forgive me. That's part of repentance, but that's not all of repentance. And it takes more than just promising God that we're going to change. Really what we need is we need a plan to follow after God. We need more than just saying, God, I'm going to change. We need to form a plan to actually follow after God. Let me give you some illustrations of what I mean. I'd say perhaps you're a person and you struggle with anger. This past week I had an event that made me very, very angry. So I had a doctor who ordered thousands of dollars of tests for me to take. And I was an obedient patient, and I went, and even though insurance wasn't covering much of it, I went ahead and I paid for all of these tests. And then the doctor decided to cancel my follow-up visit, and then said, and after I had rearranged my life around and planned events and appointments around being there for this appointment, the doctor canceled it and was like, oh, by the way, they can't see you until the end of next month, and I couldn't even make that appointment, and they're like, oh, well. So I was getting pretty upset at this office here for the way that they were running their scheduling. And so I went in and let them know that I was not very happy with the way in which they were doing their scheduling, and probably gave them a piece of my mind that I couldn't afford to lose, but let them have it anyway, because that's how I was feeling. Actually, a friend of mine sent me a text. He said, Nathan, I know how you can get, please use my credit card and go buy everyone in the office lunch for today just to make up for things. So it's one thing to say, okay, God, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have lost my temper in that way, but how can I make sure that next time will be different? What can I do that will be different? We need more than just promising God that we're going to change. We need to have a plan that we are going to change. And maybe say, hey, if you're struggling with anger a lot, to say, okay, I sense it's coming. I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to count to five. I'm going to do something different so that next time will be different. We need more than just promising God that we won't do something. We need to have a plan to do things differently. Maybe you struggle with worry. Did you know that worry is a sin? The Bible tells us to not be anxious. Being anxious is a sin that we are called not to do. And that's really hard right now. There's a lot of things that can cause us a lot of worry. If you look on the news, someone told me here in Pennsylvania yesterday, they were able to smell the fires that were coming all the way from over in California. Here in Pennsylvania, they were able to smell that. So, I mean, there's fires that are going on. There's all these hurricanes that are going on. There's coronavirus that's everywhere. There's a lot of things to worry about in the world today. And maybe you find yourself, and I know I started to find myself just starting to be overcome by worry. And so one of the things I had to do in my life to change this is I used to wake up every morning, and one of the first things I would do is I would check the news. And I would wake up and I would read and be like, oh, that's what's going on in the world. I had to stop doing that because I found myself getting too worried and too anxious, because I would wake up and be like, oh, that's what's going on in the world today. I started freaking out about that. And so what I had to do is and say, okay, instead of waking up every morning and reading the news, I should wake up every morning and read my Bible instead. And you know something? That does a whole lot more to help you with your sense of worry. So it's going in one direction that was just leading to worry and destruction and all of that. But instead saying, God, hey, I'm sorry for worrying and not trusting you, but going in a new direction, saying, hey, you know what? I'm not going to check the news every morning. Not saying we need to be oblivious and ignorant of the news, but to not allow that to consume us with worry. Or maybe you're a person and you struggle with greed. I had a pastor tell me, he said, I don't ever have anyone come into my office and say, I struggle with greed. They say, I struggle with being too careful. And they struggle with assuming that all the money is for them. And he said that his solution for this people is learn to start giving away a portion of your income, to say, hey, this is what I'm going to make. This is what I'm going to give away from that, if this is something that you struggle with. But instead of saying, God, I'm sorry for being selfish and greedy, saying, God, this is my plan for what I'm going to do different to make sure that next time will be different. I don't know what things are for you. I just gave some illustrations from my own life of things that I need to repent of and go about in a new direction. So let's go back. Let's review where we've been today. What was the illustration that God had for Israel? He used the life of Hosea to show that he loved Israel even when Israel was not loving God. And then what did God want for Israel? He wanted them to repent. He wanted them to return back to him. He wanted to repent from her idolatry and to come back into following after him. And what does God want for you and me? God wants for us to repent of our sin, to go in a new direction back to following him. And remember that we can't just promise God, say, God, I'm going to be different. We need to have a plan to be different. We need to make sure that next time will be different from the last time, but we need to plan on that. And so what do we need to do to apply this to our lives today? Well, we need to make a plan. So I don't know what it is for you in your life, but I'd ask you to spend a couple minutes now and think things through. I'm going to call Pastor back up to lead us in a time of reflection and say, God, what is it in my life that I need to repent of? What is something in my life that I have been doing that hasn't been pleasing to you? What is something in my life that has been destructive that I need to turn around from? As I used that illustration when we started off of, we drove in the wrong direction for a long time and wasted a bunch of gas and never were able to make it to the church service, that we needed to turn around sooner. And if we would have turned around sooner, we would have been there for the church and we wouldn't have missed out on that. Some of us, we need to turn around sooner so that we don't miss out on some of the blessings and good things that God wants to bring into our lives. So we need to turn around sooner rather than later. So we need to make a plan for this. We need to make a plan for repentance. So I challenge all of you as we enter into this time of reflection to think, God, what is it in my life that you want me to turn around from and make a plan to follow more after you? Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, then I'll turn it back over to Pastor. Almighty God, I thank you for this book of Hosea where you just showed you loved Israel so much and that even when Israel wasn't following after you, you didn't just say, oh, well, I'm going to just go find somebody else to choose to be my people. But instead, you did things to try to win Israel back into yourself. And you wanted them to repent and to follow hard after you. And Father, we know that what you wanted for Israel back then and there is what you want for us today. You want for us to repent of things in our lives that are destructive, repent from things in our life that aren't good, so that we can follow hard after you. And Father, I pray that we will now think about this in our life and say, God, what is it that I need to turn away from? And what do I need to not just promise you that I'm going to do differently, but how am I going to plan to do it differently? And so I'd ask for all of us to think through this at this time. And Father, I pray that we will be faithful, that we will follow out this plan to follow hard after you, and that we will return fully and more forcefully than ever to you. And I ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, amigo. It's definitely good to hear God's word from our friend. And, it's one thing to say to God, forgive me, I sin. It's another thing to say, God, forgive me, I've sinned in this specific way. So as we take our next step now, and just take a minute to take time, just you and God, just think about, okay, in what way am I going the wrong direction? In what way am I sinning against God that's just really not healthy for me, not good for my relationship with God or others? And try to be specific. Because none of us have arrived yet. We're all still on the journey. So take a minute, just you and God. In what way are you maybe going the wrong direction? You know, one of the beautiful things about worshiping the God we worship, he's nothing like Baal, nothing like that. We serve a God whose mercy is abundant and always ready to just pour himself his goodness and his forgiveness on us. So let's rise to our feet, move around a little bit, get some arms moving, some legs moving, get the blood flowing again, and let's just give praise to God, for his mercy is more.
Praise the Lord, his mercy is more, stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. could remember no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more.
Such patience.
Would wait as we constantly roam. Would Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more.
Amen to that. Such good, good truth. All right, you guys can have a seat. So as we just wrap up this morning, just want to remind you those next steps, just as you're thinking and you're interacting with God, that's the most important thing of this morning. You know, as you're engaging with him and worshiping him, we want to worship him in the right direction. So in whatever way you're thinking, I need to turn around, follow up on that, follow through with that, give that some more thought throughout the week. Don't just walk away, drive away and forget. But take those steps, whatever those steps are. By the way, if you want to give, you want to give to the ministry that Amigo is involved in, thousands and thousands of miles from here. Some of you are aware of what he's up to and are already supporting. So just want to let you know you have an opportunity to do that today. The offering box is right over here. There are envelopes, or if you write a check, just put Asia. He serves in Southeast Asia. And if you just write Asia in the memo, we will make sure all those funds go towards his ministry. So you can do that online. You can online give, and you put Asia in the memo, and that will be channeled over. We'll just write one big check and send it to him and his ministry. And so if you want to give that way, you guys are a generous group. And so if you want to help with that, thank you for those of you who already are. And if anybody wants to jump on, you can do that. Just want to remind you of a couple of things. We got a new home group session starting up early October, the first full week of October. We've got a live option. We've got a Zoom option. So if you want to get together with people and just pursue applying truth together, pursue relationships and get together. We've had a lot of missing out on getting together. And this is just one way, whether you want to do it by Zoom, whether you want to do it in person, that's going to start just a couple of weeks. Wow. Okay. The weather forecast said up to 4-mile-an-hour gusts. That was definitely more than 4 miles an hour. Live stream audience can't see that, but our screen just blew over and it's tied up. So, wow. Okay. Good job, setup team, for having that tied up. We did not lose a screen just now. So, home groups. We won't have screens, and we will be together one way or another. Just as the weather's getting colder and the wind is getting brisker, just be praying for our indoor location. We have two options we're looking at. One is the fire company, and the other is Bethel Church of the Nazarene. Those are two places that we're looking at to get indoors sooner than later, but it will be warmer the next few weeks, I think, if the weather people are right, like they always are. So we will be outside for a few more weeks probably, but we hope to be inside soon. So be praying that God will provide where we should be, because we definitely don't want to be here in the winter. Amen? Amen. We don't want to just put tarps around. Like, no, we're not going to do that. So we will find a place. Other churches have already said, hey, if you need a place, we just haven't worked out the logistics and the details. So we know God's going to provide a place. We just don't know the right one for us. So be praying about that. I'm just going to close out our time. And thank you, those of you who are on live stream. And if you are on live stream, check your email, because there's an immediate next step you might want to check out if you are on the church email list. But let me just pray. God, thank you so much that you love us so, so much. And just like Hosea and Gomer, all we got to do is turn around. And you're waiting. You are ready for us. The judgment already went out on your son, so we don't have to take it. We just get forgiveness. God, thank you for your goodness. Your mercy is more. Our sins are great, but your mercy is more. So, Lord, thank you. Transform us through that goodness. And let us be your people this week. Let us reflect your goodness in any way that we can. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, thank you, guys. And live stream folks, thank you for being with us today.